Welcome to WRTI's Classical Stream, made possible by contributions from listeners like you. Learn more at WRTI.org.
And this week our guest is the legendary jazz pianist Herbie Hancock. With a career that spans at least 50 years, he continues to reinvent himself and is regarded as one of the greatest and most influential living jazz musicians of the 20th century. He never studied jazz formally and played classical piano from the age of 7. But in high school, he heard Oscar Peterson and decided his future course. But it was those classical musical influences that led him to redefine jazz, create a post-bop sound, and introduce into jazz the harmonies of the classical impressionists Debussy and Ravel. To encapsulate his career would be presumptuous, but suffice it to say, after his enormous jazz successes, he ventured into electronic music, composed several film scores which were commercially successful, and continues to create the sounds that represent the new face of a truly universal musical world. Welcome to Crossover, Herbie Hancock.
Oh, thank you very much for inviting me to Crossover.
And you're in France right now, is that right?
Yes, I'm in Nice.
You're performing?
Yeah, we'll be performing two nights from now.
You are legendary in your own time. I mean, I don't know how that feels, and one tries to probably avoid thinking in those terms, but you have really run the gamut, and I am going to start with an area that I know fairly well. You studied with a teacher of mine. I went to Juilliard. I'm a harpist, and Vittorio Giannini was a teacher of mine.
Giannini, really?
Yeah.
And, oh, no kidding.
Yeah, and you studied with him for a while, harmony, right? And
yeah,
theory.
I did.
Yeah, it's a long, long time ago.
Yeah.
But you started out as a classical, a wunderkind when you were a little boy, right?
Yeah, I started with classical music. I played Bach and Mozart and so forth. Yeah.
But you actually played, as a little 5 years old, I guess, you started playing the piano?
I was 7 when I first started.
Okay. But you evolved, obviously, into a whole other entity, and I guess the classics are a bit of, they were important in your development, weren't they?
Yeah, they were, and never completely left me, although jazz began to take over at a certain point. But still, I continued to listen to classical music, especially composers like Ravel and Bartok and Stravinsky.
Well, you were influenced by those, you said, in some of the things that I read, that Ravel especially, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. I absolutely was probably influenced primarily by Ravel, and in some aspects by Stravinsky.
Yes.
And some Bartok too.
At some point. Well, but of course, you've touched on all of the changes in the music world, even instrumentally. I mean, you are a pianist and you're a jazz pianist, and of course you've had enormous success. You started out, I guess pretty prosaically playing jazz, and then you evolved into more contemporary jazz and more contemporary sounds within the jazz framework.
Yeah, I covered a very broad spectrum of genres that I sometimes combine with jazz. And certainly, even if in some cases, certain recordings of mine lean more toward a pop direction,
mm-hmm.
the spirit of jazz was always there. My recent album, which is called The Imagine Project, is a combination of sometimes jazz, sometimes pop, sometimes world music, because it's a global collaborative record.
Well, I guess at some point in a career like yours and with such an inquisitive musical mind, you really have to be touched by all of the innovations that happen. And that's, it looks, when you read your history, your biography, it's like, you're here at one period, and then all of a sudden you're beginning to add a little bit of this and a little bit of that, and then you evolve also into electronic music, and it's really amazing. And
Well, I was an engineering major in college for my first 2 years.
Oh, my.
Because of my interest in science from when I was a kid. And then after my first 2 years of college, I really decided to face the truth. And the truth is, the thing that was really motivating me was music. So I changed my major to music composition. And that's what I got my degree in. But when synthesizers came along, I naturally gravitated toward them because that was part of my experience in engineering and science.
Yes, well, of course, it was fascinating, I would imagine, to explore all the possibilities, which you did.
Right, right. See, I really enjoy that. And you may not know this, but I had the great opportunity to revisit my classical roots in a way last year. I did a tour with Long Long.
Yes, I was going to ask you about that. But
oh, you knew about that. Okay.
Well, you know, we have all of the notes about you, and they're voluminous, and I say, my goodness, where do you start? But Long Long, I don't think it's all part of the same thing. And I guess, you know, the more you learn, the more you realize that we all evolve. Music is music is music. I mean, that's really, and of course I guess the impressionists really were the ones that were exploring jazz, I think, harmonically,
yeah.
Weren't they really the ones
Absolutely.
That started it? Yeah. And then of course,
you know, that was the early part of the 20th century.
Right. Exactly.
And that was, sort of the, around the time of arguably the birth time of jazz.
The chordal structures and all of that, the exploratory. But what did you play with Long Long? I mean, what kind of concert was that?
Well, we played Ralph Vaughan Williams' concerto for two pianos.
Ooh.
And we found out that it's rarely been performed. It was difficult. Almost impossible to find the music for it,
mm-hmm.
but we were able to. You know, we did some research and found the music, and so we were able to do that on the tour. We also played an adaptation of Gershwin's Rhapsody in Blue,
of course,
for two pianos and orchestra.
Well, but you're going to make a recording of that, of course, right?
Yeah. We want to do that.
The Vaughan Williams,
yeah.
Definitely. My goodness, that would be
yeah.
something fantastic. How did that feel, though? I mean, how did that feel? That's kind of a whole different story for you again.
It felt great. It really felt
yeah.
great. We also played Ravel. We played the
the Mother Goose.
Yes.
Oh, that's so beautiful. And for two pianos.
For two pianos, yes.
Wow.
I'm sorry, not two pianos. For one piano, four hands.
Ah, okay. All right.
So that's
that's even harder.
That's even harder, right. It's harder, but it looks elegant.
Oh,
as a presentation, it looks really elegant. And Long Long and I really hit it off, although I'm more than twice his age.
He's a very nice guy. I had interviewed him. I was very impressed with him. He was actually an ambassador for UNICEF at one point, you know.
Right, right.
And of course, you've done so much work for good causes as well now. But he's an amazing pianist. Well, you know, now that you have said that on the air, you're committed to making an album.
We talked about it before.
Good. I heard you play at the Mann Center years back, but I also had seen you on television. I was very impressed with you as intellectually, you are so profound. And I would imagine that your career reflects that because you're always moving ahead into new areas. And again, you're playing on a regular piano and then all of a sudden you're doing all of this electronic stuff. And how do you feel about that? I mean, you know, it's a whole other world, isn't it?
Well, I love the idea of possibilities and exploration and imagination. And I mean, two of those words were in the titles of two of my last three records. I had an album called Possibilities.
Yes.
And my recent one is called The Imagine Project.
Yes. Well, yeah.
So for me, it's all stimulation of the creative spirit.
What was the most powerful time of, well, you're still alive and you're still working, but where did you feel the most, you had reached a certain zenith of what you were doing with all of these, this experimental stuff? Because everything has to come together at some point, doesn't it?
Well, there have been particular records that perhaps summarized my work up to a certain point, and,
right.
and maybe in a sense, this new record in some ways summarizes aspects that I've touched on in the past, but in a new way with this new record. But these are all kind of markers, you know. They're not endpoints.
Okay.
And I have no intention of retiring. You know, some people ask me if I've ever thought about retiring.
No.
You know.
No. Why?
What?
Exactly.
To me, the retiring is dying.
I agree with you so. I just agree with you so. It's and especially when you're productive and you have so much to say. This Imagine Project, what does that include in terms of the repertoire?
The purpose was is about peace through global collaboration, and so I recorded several artists from various countries. We recorded it in various countries.
Mm-hmm.
Like the first piece on that we recorded was done in India, in Mumbai.
Okay.
And it has Chaka Khan singing in English, mm-hmm. and an Indian singer named Chitra, and she's singing in Hindi.
Mm-hmm.
We have another track that was recorded first in Paris, and then we added some tracks that were recorded in Dublin. And so the tracks that were recorded in Paris have some African musicians on it and some American musicians, and we created a kind of a hybrid, somewhat African track for a piece written by Bob Dylan called "The Times They Are a Changing." And then we went to Dublin to overdub a group called the Chieftains.
Oh, they're wonderful!
Right, a wonderful traditional Irish group, and we put that together, and we added a singer. Subsequent to that, she recorded her vocal of the Bob Dylan lyrics. A singer named Lisa Hannigan, who is Irish,
okay.
also, and she recorded in my studio in Los Angeles, and she sang some lyrics in English, and then there was a little melody that the Chieftains actually added to the
yes.
piece, and she sang that in Irish Gaelic.
Gaelic, I was going to say. Oh, they're Oh, they are wonderful. What a wonderful, wonderful idea. What other countries did you touch on?
We went to Brazil and recorded an artist named Seu. She's a young mid-20s artist, singer. And she sang in Portuguese. I mean, she speaks English, but she's Brazilian. And
of course, that must have been jazz, obviously. Right?
And it was a kind of a piece that combines jazz and Brazilian and Latin African flavors.
That seems to be the underlying theme, too, as well, I guess.
Yeah. In a way, there's throughout the record, there are some references to African culture, because three of the groups were from Africa, a group called Konono Number One from the Congo,
mm-hmm.
A singer named Omo Sangari from Mali, who sang in her language, Bambara,
mm-hmm.
and another group called Tinariwen from northern Mali, and they sang in their language. It's not Bambara, it's a different language.
Now,
from northern Mali.
This what label is that on? The new
album? It's on Hancock Records.
Hancock Records, and it
right.
came out. Actually, it was last month, right?
Came out
June
21st.
Yeah, and that's available.
Yeah, and in the States, it's distributed by a company called Red, but it's on Hancock Records.
Okay. So that was kind of a culmination of a lot of ideas that you had, I guess, also working for world peace. But there always is that, I have to say, the African beat is always there. I mean,
yeah.
No matter where you go.
Well, I mean, if you think about it, the link between human beings from all cultures is our common African ancestor.
Yes.
That's where we all came from.
So
but of course now we have this incredible diversity of styles and flavors and colors and religions and looks and so that to me is the human orchestra.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, and
are we in tune, or are we a little bit out of tune?
yeah, that's it, and we are one family. And I wanted to demonstrate that on this record.
Well, music is the universal language. I mean, that's really the way we speak. And I think as a musician, you see that all the time. You know, you cannot speak the language. You sit down and play, and there's that smile that comes across, the boundaries. It's an amazing thing, and to be able to use that as a tool to bring our world together. Or at least closer, is a very important thing. So now are you involved in any other new project aside from this Imagine project? Are you going to be coming to Philadelphia, I believe?
Yes, so I'm bringing a band that's playing much of the music from the Imagine project record.
Oh, I see.
Which is a difficult thing to do. Because we have artists from all over the world on the record in various languages.
Mm-hmm.
But thanks to modern technology, we're able to capture the essence of it and bring on our new recording devices, which are hard drives, at least storage devices. We're able to bring some of the tracks from the record and use that along with the live musicians. To make a full experience for the audience.
Well, of course, what you're doing is actually the electronic music project, because that's what the electronic people have been trying for years, to incorporate, you know, the digital sounds and everything that they do on, you know, electronically producing the sound within the orchestra. And of course, here you are doing that. And I wonder if you probably didn't even know that's what you were doing, but the creative mind just goes there. And,
yeah.
Well, it's wonderful and it's exciting, and there's so much we could talk to you for probably more than 3 hours at least. But Herbie Hancock, you are a legend, and it's delightful that you're still working and active and producing and giving to the musical community and the world. And we thank you so, so much for just giving us a little bit of your time.
Oh, thank you so much for inviting me.
A pleasure. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Sure.